He destroyed it with his Green New Scam and all of the other, all this money that's being thrown out the window. He caused inflation. As sure as you're sitting there, the fact is that his big kill on the black people is the millions of people that he's allowed to come in through the border. They're taking black jobs now, and it could be 18, it could be 19, and even 20 million people. They're taking black jobs, and they're taking Hispanic jobs, and you haven't seen it yet, but you're going to see something that's going to be the worst in our history.
Thank you. President Biden?
There was no inflation when I became president. You know why? The economy was flat on its back. 15% unemployment. He decimated the economy, absolutely decimated the economy. That's why there was no inflation at the time. There were no jobs. We provided thousands of millions of jobs for individuals who were in all communities, including minority communities. We made sure that they have health insurance. We have covered, the ACA has increased. I made sure that there are $8,000 per person in a family to get written off for health care. But this guy wants to eliminate that. They tried 50 times. He wants to get rid of the ACA again. And they're going to try again if they win. You find ourselves in a position where the idea that we're not doing any, we put more police on the street than any administration has. He wants to cut the cops. We're providing for equity and making sure people have a shot to make it. There's a lot going on. But in inflation, he caused it by his tremendous malfeasance in the way he handled the pandemic.
Thank you. Another persistent challenge is the climate crisis. 2023 was the hottest year in recorded history, and communities across the country are confronting the devastating effects of extreme heat, intensifying wildfires, stronger hurricanes, and rising sea levels. Former President Trump, you've vowed to end your opponent's climate initiatives, but will you take any action as president to slow the climate crisis?
Well, let me just go back to what he said about the police, how close the police are to him. Almost every police group in the nation from every state is supporting Donald J. Trump. Almost every police group. And what he's done to the black population is horrible, including the fact that for 10 years he called them super predators. We can't, in the 1990s, we can't forget that. Super predators was his name, and he called it to them for 10, and they've taken great offense at it, and now they see it happening. But when they see what I did for criminal justice reform and for the historically black colleges and universities, where I funded them and got them all funded, and the opportunity zones with Tim, as you know, Tim Scott was incredible. He did a great job. Great senator from South Carolina. He came to me with the idea, and it was a great idea. It's one of the most successful economic development acts ever in the country, opportunity zones. And the biggest beneficiary are blacks. And that's why we have the best numbers with them in maybe ever. They're saying ever. I read this morning where ever, the best numbers. He's lost much of the black population because he's done a horrible job for black people. He's also done a horrible job for Hispanics. But wait till you see these millions of people pouring into our country, and they're going to take the jobs, and it's already started, and you haven't seen anything yet. It's a disaster.
You've 38 seconds left. President Trump, will you take any action as president to slow the climate crisis?
So I want absolutely immaculate, clean water, and I want absolutely clean air, and we had it. We had H2O. We had the best numbers ever, and we did. We were using all forms of energy, all forms, everything. And yet, during my 4 years, I had the best environmental numbers ever. And my top environmental people gave me that statistic just before I walked on the stage, actually.
I don't know where the hell he's been. The idea that anything he said is true. I've passed the most extensive climate change legislation in history, We find ourselves, and by the way, black colleges, I came up with $15 billion for HBCUs, historic black universities and colleges, because they don't have those, they don't have the kind of contributors that they have to build these laboratories and the like. Any black student is capable in college of doing any white student can do. They just have the money, but now they'll be able to get those jobs in high tech. We're in a situation where the idea that he is claiming to have done something that had the cleanest water, He hadn't done a damn thing for the environment. He pulled out of the Paris Peace Accord, Climate Accord. I immediately joined it. because if we reach 1.5 degrees Celsius at any one point, there's no way back. The only existential threat to humanity is climate change. And he didn't do a damn thing about it. He wants to undo all that I've done.
The Paris Accord was going to cost us $1 trillion, and China nothing, and Russia nothing, and India nothing. It was a ripoff of the United States. And I ended it because I didn't want to waste that money because they treat us horribly. We were the only ones. It was costing us money. Nobody else was paying into it. And it was a disaster. But everything that he said just now, I'll give you an example. I heard him say before, insulin. I'm the one that got the insulin down for the seniors. I took care of the seniors. What he's doing is destroying all of our medical programs because the migrants coming in, they want everybody. And look, I have the biggest heart on the stage. I guarantee you that. And I want to take care of people. But we're destroying our country. They're taking over our schools, our hospitals, and they're going to be taking over Social Security. He is destroying Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
The idea is that we, in fact, we were the only ones of consequence who were not members of the Paris Accord. How can we do anything? We're not able to, the United States can't get its under control. One of the largest polluters in the world, number one. We're making significant progress. By 2035, we will have cut pollution in half. We have made significant progress, and we're continuing to make progress. We set up a climate corps for thousands of young people to learn how to deal with climate, just like the Peace Corps. And we're moving in directions that are going to significantly change the elements of cause of pollution. But the idea that he claims that he has the biggest heart up here and he's really concerned about pollution and about climate, I've not seen any indication of that. And by the way, with regard to prescription drugs, one company agreed that they would reduce the price to $35, which I was calling for, one, voluntarily. I made sure every company in the world, every pharmaceutical company, cannot have to pay.
Thank you.
And by the way...
So every day, millions of Americans struggle just to make ends meet. For many older Americans, Social Security provides a critical lifeline. President Biden, if nothing is done to Social Security, seniors will see their benefits cut in just over 10 years. Will you name tonight one specific step that you're willing to take to keep Social Security solvent?
Yes, make the very wealthy begin to pay their fair share. Right now, everybody making under $170,000 pays 6% of their income, of their paycheck, every single time they get a paycheck from the time of the first one they get when they're 18 years old. The idea that they're going to, I've been proposing that everybody, they pay, the millionaires pay 1%. So no one after, I would not raise the cost of Social Security for anybody under $400,000. After that, I began to make the wealthy begin to pay their fair share by increasing from 1% beyond to be able to guarantee the program for life.
So you still have 82 seconds left. Are there any other measures that you think that would be able to help keep Social Security solvent, or is that one enough?
Well, no, that one enough will keep it solvent. But the biggest thing I'll do if we defeat this man, because he wants to get rid of Social Security. He thinks there's plenty to cut in Social Security. He's wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare, both times. And that's what. And if you look at the program put forward by the House Republican Caucus that he, I believe, supports, is in fact want to cut it as well. The idea that we don't need to protect our seniors is ridiculous. And by the way, the American public has greater health care coverage today than ever before. And on the ACA, as I said, you're in a circumstance where 40 million people would not have insurance because they have a pre-existing condition. Only thing that allows them to have that insurance is the fact that they, in fact, are part of the ACA. And by the way, the other thing is, we're in a situation where we talk about education for black communities. I've raised the amount of money for Pell Grants another $8,000. So anybody making under $70,000 a year is going to be able to get $15,000 toward their tuition. He just doesn't know what he's talking about.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump.
So I've dealt with politicians all my life. I've been on this side of the equation for the last 8 years. I've never seen anybody lie like this guy. He lies. I've never seen it. He could look you in the face. So about so many other things, too. And we mentioned the laptop. We mentioned Russia, 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 Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Everything he does is a lie. It's misinformation and disinformation. The losers and suckers story that he made up is a total lie on the military. It's a disgrace. But Social Security, he's destroying it because millions of people are pouring into our country, and they're putting them onto Social Security. They're putting them onto Medicare, Medicaid. They're putting them in our hospitals. They're taking the place of our citizens. What they're doing to the VA, to our veterans, is unbelievable. Our veterans are living in the street, and these people are living in luxury hotels. He doesn't know what he's doing, and it's really coming back. I've never seen such anger in our country before.
President Biden?
The idea that veterans are not being taken care of, I told you before. And by the way, when I said suckers and losers, he said he acknowledged after that he fired that general. That general got fired because he's the one that acknowledged that that's what he said. He was the one standing with Trump when he said it, number one. Number two, the idea that we're going to be in a situation where all these millions and millions, the way he talks about it, illegal aliens are coming into the country and taking away our jobs. There's a reason why we have the fastest growing economy in the world, the reason why we have the most successful economy in the world. We're doing better than any other nation in the world. And by the way, those 15 Nobel laureates he talked about being phony, those 15 Nobel laureates, economists, they all said that if Trump is reelected, we're likely to have a recession and inflation is going to increasingly go up. And by the way, worst president in history, 159 presidential scholars voted him the worst president in the history of the United States of America.
President Biden, thank you so much. Let's turn to the cost of child care, which many American families struggle to afford. President Trump, both you and President Biden have tried to address this issue, but the average cost of child care in this country has risen to more than $11,000 a year per child. For many families, the cost of child care for two children is more than their rent. In your second term, what would you do to make child care more affordable?
Just to go back, the general got fired because he was no good. And if he said that, that's why he made it up. But we have 19 people that said I didn't say it, and they're very highly respected, much more so than him. The other thing is, he doesn't fire people. He never fired people. I've never seen him fire anybody. I did fire a lot. I fired Comey because he was no good. I fired a lot of the top people at the FBI, drained the swamp. They were no good. Not easy to fire people. You'd pay a price for it, but they were no good. I inherited these people. I didn't put him there. I didn't put Comey there. He was no good. I fired him. This guy hasn't fired anybody. He never fires. He should have fired every military man that was involved with that Afghanistan horror show, the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. He didn't fire. Did you fire anybody? Did you fire anybody that's on the border that's allowed us to have the worst border in the history of the world? Did anybody get fired for allowing 18 million people, many from prisons, many from mental institutions? Did you fire anybody that allowed our country to be destroyed? Joe, our country is being destroyed as you and I sit up here and waste a lot of time on this debate. This shouldn't be a debate. He is the worst president. He just said about me because I said it. But look, he's the worst president in the history of our country. He's destroyed our country. Now, all of a sudden, he's trying to get a little tough on the border. He came out with a nothing deal, and it reduced it a little bit, like this much. It's insignificant. He wants open borders. He wants our country to either be destroyed or he wants to pick up those people as voters. And I don't think we just can't let it happen. If he wins this election, our country doesn't have a chance, not even a chance, of coming out of this rut. We probably won't have a country left anymore. That's how bad it is. He is the worst in history by far.
Thank you, President Trump. President Biden?
We're the most admired country in the world. We're the United States of America. There's nothing beyond our capacity. We have the finest military in the history of the world, the finest in the history of the world. No one thinks we're weak. No one wants to screw around with us. Nobody, number one. Number two, the idea that we're talking about worst presidents. I wasn't joking. Look it up. Go online. 159 or 58, don't hold me the exact number, presidential historians, they've had meetings and they voted who's the worst president in American history. One through best to worst. They said he was the worst in all of American history. That's a fact. That's not conjecture. He can argue they're wrong, but that's what they voted. The idea that he is doing anything to deal with child care, he did virtually nothing to child care. We should significantly increase the child care tax credit. We should significantly increase the availability of women and men or single parents to be able to go back to work. And we should encourage businesses to hold, to have.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump, the question was about what would you do to make child care more affordable, if you want to take your minute.
Just so you understand, we have polling, we have other things that do, they rate him the worst because what he's done is so bad. And they rate me, I'll show you, I will show you. And they rate me one of the best, okay? And if I'm given another 4 years, I will be the best. I think I'll be the best. Nobody's ever created an economy like us. Nobody ever cut taxes like us. He's the only one I know. He wants to raise your taxes by 4 times. He wants to raise everybody's taxes by 4 times. He wants the Trump tax cuts to expire. So everybody, including the two of you, are going to pay 4 to 5 times. Nobody ever heard of this before. All my life, I'd grow up and I'd see politicians talking about cutting taxes. When we cut taxes, as I said, we did more business. Apple and all these companies, they were bringing money back into our country. The worst president in history by far, and everybody knows it.
President Biden?
Look, the fact of the matter is that he's dead wrong about, he's increased the tariff, he will increase the taxes on middle-class people. I said I'd never raise a tax upon anybody making less than $400,000. I didn't. But this tariff is 10% tariffs. Everything coming into the country, you know what the economists say? That's going to cost the average American $2,500 a year more because they're going to have to pay the difference in food and all the things that are very important. Number two, he's in a situation where he talks about how he has not raised, he's somehow helped the middle class. Middle class have been devastated by you. Now you want a new tax cut of $5 trillion over the next 10 years, which is going to fundamentally bankrupt the country. You had the largest deficit of any president in American history, number one. Number two, you have not, in fact, made any contact, any progress with China. We are at the lowest trade deficit with China since 2010.
Thank you, President Biden.
You lost.
Thank you, President Biden. Let's discuss an epidemic impacting millions of Americans that both of you have made a top priority in your first term, the opioid crisis. And for both of you, the number of overdose deaths in this country has gone up. Under your term, it went up. Under your term, it has gone up. Former President Trump, despite the efforts that both of you have made, more than 100,000 Americans are dying from overdoses every year, primarily from fentanyl and other opioids. What will you do to help Americans right now in the throes of addiction who are struggling to get the treatment they need?
To finish up, we now have the largest deficit in the history of our country under this guy. We have the largest deficit with China. He gets paid by China. He's a Manchurian candidate. He gets money from China. We have, so I think he's afraid to deal with them or something. But do you notice he never took out my tariffs because we bring in so much money with the tariffs that I imposed on China. He never took them away. He can't because it's too much money. It's tremendous. And we saved our steel industries and there was more to come, but he hasn't done that. But he hasn't cut the tariffs because he can't, because it's too much money. But he's got the largest deficit in the history of our country, and he's got the worst situation with China. China's going to own us if you keep allowing them to do what they're doing to us as a country. They are killing us as a country, Joe, and you can't let that happen. You're destroying our country.
So, President Trump, you have 67 seconds left. The question was, what are you going to do to help Americans in the throes of addiction right now who are struggling to get the treatment they need?
Jake, we were doing very well at addiction until the COVID came along. We had the 2.5, almost 3 years of like nobody's ever had before, any country, in every way. And then we had to get tough. And it was the drugs pouring across the border were, it started to increase. We got great equipment. We bought the certain dog that's the most incredible thing that you've ever seen, the way they can spot it. We did a lot. And we were getting very low numbers, very, very low numbers. Then he came along. The numbers, have you seen the numbers now? It's not only the 18 million people that I believe is even low because the gotaways, they don't even talk about gotaways. But the numbers of the amount of drugs and human trafficking in women coming across our border, the worst thing I've ever seen, at numbers that nobody's ever seen under him because the border's so bad. But the number of drugs coming across our border now is the largest we've ever had by far.
President Trump, thank you. President Biden?
Fentanyl and the byproducts of fentanyl went down for a while. And I wanted to make sure we use the machinery that can detect fentanyl, these big machines that roll over everything that comes across the border. And it costs a lot of money. That was part of this deal we put together, this bipartisan deal. More fentanyl machines, more be able to detect drugs, more numbers of agents, more numbers of all the people at the border. And when we had that deal done, he called his Republican colleagues, said, don't do it. It's going to hurt me politically. No, he never argued it's not a good bill. It's a really good bill. We need those machines. We need those machines. And we're coming down very hard in every country in Asia in terms of precursors for fentanyl. And Mexico is working with us to make sure they don't have the technology to be able to put it together. That's what we have to do. We need those machines.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump, and again, the question is about Americans in the throes of addiction right now struggling to get the treatment they need.
Well, this does pertain to it. He ended Remain in Mexico. He ended catch and release. I made it catch and release in Mexico, not catch and release here. We had so many things that we had done, hard negotiations with Mexico, and I got it all for nothing. It's just like when you have a hostage. We always pay $6 billion for a hostage. Every time we say it's a hostage. Now we have a hostage, a Wall Street Journal reporter, I think a good guy, and he's over there because Putin is laughing at this guy, probably asking for billions of dollars for the reporter. I will have him out very quickly, as soon as I take office, before I take office. I said, by literally, as soon as I win the election, I will have that reporter out. He should have had him out a long time ago. But Putin's probably asking for billions and billions of dollars because this guy pays it every time. We had two cases. We paid $6 billion for five people. I got 58 people out, and I paid essentially nothing.
Thank you, President Trump. Dana?
Let's turn to concerns that voters have about each of you. President Biden, you would be 86 at the end of your second term. How do you address concerns about your capability to handle the toughest job in the world well into your 80s?
Well, first of all, I spent half my career being criticized being the youngest person in politics. I was the second youngest person ever elected to the United States Senate, and now I'm the oldest. This guy's 3 years younger and a lot less competent. I think that just look at the record, look at what I've done, look how I've turned around the horrible situation he left me. As I said, 15 million new jobs, 800,000 manufacturing jobs, more investment in America, over billions of dollars in private investment in enterprises that we are growing. By the way, we brought an awful lot of people, the whole idea of computer chips. We used to have 40% of the market. We invented those chips, and we lost it because he was sending people to find the cheapest jobs overseas and to bring home a product. So I went to South Korea. I convinced Samsung to invest billions of dollars here in the United States. And they're, guess what? Those fabs, they call them, that to build these chips, those fabs pay over $100,000. You don't need a college degree for them. And there's billions, about $40 billion already being invested and being built right now in the United States, creating significant jobs for Americans from all over the world.
President Biden, you have 40 seconds left. Would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I would. The idea that somehow we are this failing country. I never heard a president talk like this before. We're the envy of the world. Like, name me a single major country president who wouldn't trade places with the United States of America for all our problems and all our opportunities. We're the most progressive country in the world in getting things done. We're the strongest country in the world. We're a country in the world who keeps our word, and everybody trusts us, all of our allies, those who he coddles up to, from Kim Jong-un, he sends love letters to, and Putin, et cetera, they don't want to screw around with us.
Thank you. Former President Trump, to follow up, you would be 82 at the end of your second term. What do you say to voters who have concerns about your capabilities to serve?
Well, I took two tests, cognitive tests. I aced them, both of them, as you know. We made it public. He took none. I'd like to see him take one, just one, a real easy one. Like, go through the first five questions. He couldn't do it. But I took two cognitive tests. I took physical exams every year. And, you know, we knock on wood, wherever we may have wood, that I'm in very good health. I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way. And I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit lighter, but I'm in as good a shape as I was years ago. I feel very good. I feel the same. But I was willing to take a cognitive test. And you know what? If I didn't do well, I aced him. Dr. Ronny Jackson, who's a great guy when he was White House doctor. And then I took another one, a similar one. And both, one of them said they've never seen anybody ace him.
Thank you. President Biden?
You can see he is 6'5" and only 223 pounds, or 235 pounds. Well, you said 6'4", 200. Well, anyway, that's what you're, anyway. Just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And well, by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8?
Never.
But I have, you know how many? How,
I've seen your swing. I know your swing. Let's not act like children.
To a specific concern that voters have about you. Will you pledge tonight that once all legal challenges have been exhausted, that you will accept the results of this election, regardless of who wins, and you will say right now that political violence in any form is unacceptable?
Well, I shouldn't have to say that, but of course I believe that. It's totally unacceptable. And if you would see my statements that I made on Twitter at the time, and also my statement that I made in the Rose Garden, you would say it's one of the strongest statements you've ever seen. In addition to the speech I made, in front of, I believe, the largest crowd I've ever spoken to, and I will tell you, nobody ever talks about that. They talk about a relatively small number of people that went to the Capitol, and in many cases were ushered in by the police. And as Nancy Pelosi said, it was her responsibility, not mine. She said that loud and clear. But the answer is, if the election is fair, free, and I want that more than anybody. And I'll tell you something. I wish he was a great president, because I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be at one of my many places enjoying myself. I wouldn't be under indictment because I wouldn't have been his political opponent, because he indicted me because I was his opponent. I wish he was a great president. I would rather have that. I wouldn't be here. I don't mind being here. But the only reason I'm here is he's so bad as a president that I'm going to make America great again. We're going to make America great again. We're a failing nation right now. We're a seriously failing nation. And we're a failing nation because of him. His policies are so bad. His military policies are insane. They're insane. These are wars that will never end with him. He will drive us into World War III, and we're closer to World War III than anybody can imagine. We are very, very close to World War III, and he's driving us there. And Kim Jong-un and President Xi of China, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, all of these, Putin, they don't respect him. They don't fear him. They have nothing going with this gentleman, and he's going to drive us into World War III.
You want a World War III? Let him follow and win, and let Putin say, do what you want, NATO. Just do what you want. There's a thing called Article 5. An attack on one is an attack on all, and required response. The idea, I can't think of a single major leader in the world who wouldn't trade places with the job I've done and what they've done. Because we are a powerful nation. We have wonderful peace. Because of the people, not me, it's because of the American people. They're capable of anything, and they step up when they're needed. And right now, we're needed. We're needed to protect the world because our own safety is at stake. And again, you want to have a war, just let Putin go ahead and take Kyiv, make sure they move on, see what happens in Poland, Hungary, and other places along that border. Then you have a war.
President Trump, as I come back to you for a follow-up, the question was, will you accept the results of this election, regardless of who wins?
Just to finish what he said, if I might, Russia, they took a lot of land from Bush. They took a lot of land from Obama and Biden. They took no land, nothing from Trump, nothing. He knew not to do it. He's not going to play games with me. He knew that. I got along with him very well, but he knew not to play games. He took nothing from me. But now he's going to take the whole thing from this man right here. That's a war that should have never started. It would have never started ever with me. and he's going to take Ukraine. And, you know, you asked me a question before, would you do this with... He's got us in such a bad position right now with Ukraine and Russia, because Ukraine's not winning that war. He said, I will never settle until such time. They're running out of people. They're running out of soldiers. They've lost so many people. It's so sad. They've lost so many people, and they've lost those gorgeous cities with the golden domes that are 1,000 years old, all because of him and stupid decisions. Russia would have never attacked if I were president.
Trump, the question was, will you accept the results of the election, regardless of who wins, yes or no, please?
If it's a fair and legal and good election, absolutely. I would have much rather accepted these, but the fraud and everything else was ridiculous. And if you want, we'll have a news conference on it in a week, or we'll have another one of these on in a week. But I will absolutely, there's nothing I'd rather do. It would be much easier for me to do that than I'm running again. I wasn't really going to run until I saw the horrible job he did. He's destroying our country. I would be very happy to be someplace else, in a nice location someplace. And again, no indictments, no political opponent stuff, because it's the only way he thinks he can win. But unfortunately, it's driven up my numbers and driven them up to a very high level, because the people understand it.
Well, let's see what your numbers are when this election is over.
Let's see.
You're a whiner. When you lost the first time, you continued, you appealed and appealed to courts all across the country. Not one single court in America said any of your claims had any merit, state or local, none. But you continue to provoke this lie about somehow there's all this misrepresentation, all this stealing. There is no evidence of that at all. And I tell you what, I doubt whether you'll accept it because you're such a whiner. The idea, if you lose again, you accepting anything, you can't stand the loss. Something snapped in you when you lost the last time.
We'll be right back with more from the CNN presidential debate, live from Georgia.
Every weekday morning.
Here are the five things you need to know to start your day.
Get the news you need.
How about this for an earnings call headline?
In 5 minutes or less.
Bravo.
CNN's Five Things with Kate Baldwin. Streaming weekdays on CNN.com and Max.
Sail through the heart of historic cities and unforgettable scenery with Viking. Unpack once and get closer to iconic landmarks, local life, and cultural treasures. Because when you experience Europe on a Viking longship, you'll spend less time getting there and more time being there. Viking, exploring the world in comfort.
You ready to be a New York Giant?
Yes, sir, let's do it.
Our team's still adding pieces. We still have the draft and free agency.
Saquon, let's have a conversation.
You went here, it's unlike anywhere else.
Hard Knocks, off-season with the New York Giants, streaming exclusively on Max.
I've spent my career working in tech, and today I run my own software company. I'm excited about the future of American innovation, especially with artificial intelligence, where the U.S. currently leads the world. American researchers are making exciting new discoveries, and U.S. companies are investing billions in AI solutions that will strengthen small businesses. But foreign competitors like China want to surpass America in AI. Our leaders need to protect America's competitive edge.
HCM is a serious heart condition affecting as many as 1 in 200 people. Like me.
And me. It can impact how you feel and what you can do.
I still felt tired on my beta blocker, so I talked to my cardiologist
about treatment advances in HCM that gave me new options.
It was a breakthrough for me.
That conversation was big for me.
Talk to your cardiologist today and visit HCMRealTalk.com for more information.
In the furniture business, things move fast.
ZipRecruiter helps us hire qualified candidates who can keep up.
We needed a project manager yesterday.
We posted a job on ZipRecruiter and had our guy on site in 5 days.
He was qualified in every way.
ZipRecruiter finds the best candidates for all our jobs.
They helped us build our dream team, and they did it fast. Is that too fast for you?
4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Here's why you should switch from Google to DuckDuckGo on all your devices. DuckDuckGo comes with a built-in search engine like Google, but it's private and doesn't spy on your searches. And DuckDuckGo lets you browse like Chrome, but it blocks cookies and creepy ads that follow you around from Google and other companies. And there's no catch. It's free. We make money from ads, but they don't follow you around. Join the millions of people taking back their privacy by downloading DuckDuckGo on all your devices today.
Fight like hell, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
It should have been stopped. That's neglect of duty. As a sheriff, it's awful to watch police officers getting attacked. That's not supporting this badge and this uniform. I have no desire to work with somebody who divides. That's not what America is, but I work with anybody who unites. That's why I'm with President Joe Biden.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
It is now time for the candidates to deliver their closing statements as predetermined by a coin toss. We're going to begin with you, President Biden. You have 2 minutes.
We've made significant progress from the debacle that was left by President Trump in his last term. We find ourselves in a situation where, number one, we have to make sure that we have a fair tax system. I ask anyone out there in the audience or anyone out watching this debate, do you think the tax system is fair? The fact is that I said nobody even making under $400,000 had a single penny increase in their taxes and will not. And if I'm reelected, that'll be the case again. But this guy has increased your taxes because of the deficit, number one. He's increased inflation because of the debacle he left after the way he handled the pandemic. And he finds himself in a position where he now wants to tax you more by putting a 10% tariff on everything that comes into the United States of America. What I did when, for example, he wants to get rid of the ability of Medicare for us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies. Well, guess what? We got it down to $35 for insulin instead of $400, no more than $2,000 for every senior, no matter how much prescription they need. You know what that did? That reduced the federal debt by $160 billion over 10 years because the government doesn't have to pay the exorbitant prices. I'm going to make that available to every senior all along, or it's happening now, and everybody in America. He wants to get rid of that. I'm going to make sure that we have child care. We're going to significantly increase the credit people have for child care. I'm going to make sure we do something about what we're doing on lead pipes and all the things that are causing health problems for people across the country. We're going to continue to fight to bring down inflation and give people a break.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump, you now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Like so many politicians, this man is just a complainer. He said, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to get rid of this tax, that tax. But he doesn't do anything. All he does is make our country unsafe by allowing millions and millions of people to pour in. Our military doesn't respect him. We look like fools in Afghanistan. We didn't stop Israel. It was such a horrible thing that would have never happened. It should have never happened. Iran was broke. Anybody that did business with Iran, including China, they couldn't do business with the United States. They all passed. Iran was broke. They had no money for Hamas or Hezbollah, for terror, no money whatsoever. Again, Ukraine should have never happened. He talks about all this stuff, but he didn't do it. For 3.5 years, we're living in hell. We have the Palestinians and we have everybody else rioting all over the place. You talk about Charlottesville. This is 100 times Charlottesville, 1,000 times. The whole country is exploding because of you. Because they don't respect you, and they have to respect their president, and they don't respect you throughout the world. What we did was incredible. We rebuilt the military. We got the largest tax cut in history, the largest regulation cut in history. The reason he's got jobs is because I cut the regulations that gave jobs, but he's putting a lot of those regulations back on. All of the things that we've done, nobody's ever seen anything like, even from a medical standpoint, right to try, where we can try space-age materials instead of going to Asia or going to Europe and trying to get when you're terminally ill. Now you can go and you can get something. You sign a document. They've been trying to get it for 42 years. But you know what we did for the military was incredible. Choice for our soldiers, where our soldiers, instead of waiting for 3 months to see a doctor, can go out and get themselves fixed up and readied up and take care of themselves and their living. And that's why I had the highest approval rating in the history of the VA. So all of these things, we're in a failing nation, but it's not going to be failing anymore. We're going to make it great again.
Thank you, former President Trump, President Biden. Stay with us because we have full analysis of this debate. Anderson Cooper and Aaron Burnett starts now on CNN.
President and former president making their way off the CNN debate stage. Looks like Jill Biden, the first lady, has come out. Former President Trump walking off the stage. The first debate of the 2024 campaign and the earliest presidential debate ever now in the books and in front of the voters. Tonight, along with Aaron Burnett, the first word on what those voters might make of it from our political professionals, from our CNN flash poll and swing state focus group. We'll be talking to surrogates, including Vice President Harris, getting fact checks from our Daniel Dale and new reporting from inside both campaigns. With me here, CNN political commentator Scott Jennings, Kate Bedingfield, David Urban, Van Jones, Alyssa Farr Griffin, and Newsnight anchor Abby Phillip, and David Axelrod, and CNN chief national correspondent John King. John, let me start with you. Your thoughts.
Anderson, this was a game-changing debate in the sense that right now, as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive